Lived in Shelbyville, I've never stood in this pulpit. I've stood in several around, but I've never preached from this pulpit at Eastside. It's indeed a treat for me to be here for you this morning. I appreciate the invitation to come here. I'm saddened that it's for the reason. I know you love Mike and Mary and the boys. And walking around shaking hands with a few of you this morning, you were remembering me when I was, as they say, knee-high to a grasshopper. I don't know if that's good or bad. But I hope that you'll take out your Bibles and follow along. And if you find that I've said anything contrary to God's Word in this lesson, that you'll bring it to my attention. The greatest fear I have in preaching the gospel is preaching error. The last thing I want to do is lead someone astray. And I find it a great responsibility, both preachers, elders, and anyone who teaches a Bible class, to have a weight put upon their shoulders that they ought to take seriously. So this morning we're going to talk about the Bible. There is a great invitation found in Matthew chapter 11. But before we begin there, I want to notice that John Quincy Adams, one of our presidents, the sixth president of this country, says, "So great is my veneration or respect for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year." Another fellow in England, by the name of George Muller, who was known for establishing orphanages throughout the nation of England, said, "I believe that the one chief reason that I have been kept in happy, useful service is that I have been a lover of Holy Scripture. It has been my habit to read the Bible through four times a year in a prayerful spirit, to apply it to my heart, and practice what I find there. I have been for 69 years a happy man." Happy, happy, happy. What we see from both of these gentlemen, and there are numerous others, is that the habit of Bible reading should be an important part of every Christian's life. And this is a habit that a great many people have and have engaged in regularly. And yet many people today don't do it as often, possibly, as they should. And I fear that if the truth were known, there are fewer and fewer people who have developed a habit of reading the Bible on a daily basis. Many people, some of us, may not have ever read the New Testament through from beginning to end. And even fewer have ever read the Old Testament. In my visits with other congregations and having an opportunity to teach Bible classes, one thing that amazes me, and I don't know if Mike and Frank have ever seen this or heard this, but there are Christians today that make comments repeatedly, "I've never studied that book." That's a scary thought. To know that there are Christians in this world, in this country, in the Middle Tennessee area, that say, "Well, I've never studied," and you name the book, "I've never studied it." The Bible is the most important document in your life. And yet there are other men. Patrick Henry, who said the Bible is worth more than all other books which have ever been printed. Charles Dickens, a great literary man, he wrote the New Testament is the very best book that was ever or ever will be known in the world. And as you've studied about Christ from time to time, you may have found yourself thinking, "Well, you know, Christ is certainly a wonderful personality to be reading about. He must be the Son of God, but it's hard to believe that He would care for me." I mean, you look at the grand scheme of things and how many people there are in the world, and you think, "I'm insignificant in everything. I'm so small in the big picture. After all, I am a weak and sinful person." Let me just say, God loves you, and He does care for you. Jesus said that He loves you. And in fact, He says that He came to this world to save sinners. Now, how many in this room have never been a sinner? Some of us may consider ourselves still to be sinners. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, where Jesus said, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance." Or Paul, rather, says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. In other translations, Paul would say he was the chiefest of sinners. Paul said he was the worst. You remember his life, how he persecuted those of the way, put them in prison, let them off to be put to death. Some are convinced, in other cases, that they're the only one trying to serve the Lord. Nobody else is working as hard as I am, they may think. There have been characters in the Old Testament that felt the same way. You remember Elijah? He told the people in 1 Kings 18 and verse 22, "I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. I'm the only one." You ever felt that way? You see, the Bible covers a broad spectrum of how people may feel about themselves and the Word of God. Consider Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts. In chapter 16, verses 25 through 40, we find that they've been put into jail. And the jailer there was told to keep them soundly, securely. And having received such a charge, the text says he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. It's amazing the love that Christ has for each person. And it's evident from the great invitation that we read of in Matthew chapter 11. The New Living Translation reads this way of this text: "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" Here is the greatest invitation that has ever been extended. Frank's gives some good invitations, I'm sure. So has Mike. You may have yourself given great invitations to individuals, but this is the greatest. Jesus stands before you with outstretched arms, and he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I want to take this time that we have and examine this great invitation. It is an invitation, as we said, and I want us to think for a few minutes about the meaning of the words in this invitation. The passage begins with "come." Jesus says, "Come," and it is not him that must come to us. Jesus said that we must go to him. It begins with man coming to Christ. That means I've got to make a decision, and it's us who has to make that decision whether we're going to accept this invitation or not. I guarantee you that there are certain times of the year you're going to get an invitation to a graduation, whether it's high school, college, whatever. You're going to get a wedding invitation or some other kind of invitation, baby shower invitation, wedding shower invitation. You're going to get them. And it's up to you to decide whether you're going to it or not. It's your decision. The same is true with this invitation. It's your decision. But as we see, it is man that must come. God does not force us. It is a decision that we have to make whether we're going to accept him or not. Now, I've seen times when I've offered the invitation and I know someone is sitting in the audience and I've got my mind geared toward that person and I think, I just want to go back there and get them and put them in a hammer lock and bring them up here because I know they're ready to obey the gospel. But it's their choice. You can't walk back and grab them by the ear and say, "Come on, we're going to baptize." It doesn't work that way. Jesus says, "Come." It's up to you to respond to his invitation. But notice, not only just come, but come to me. Come to me. Here's the drawing power of this invitation. In John chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus says, I am lifted up from the earth. I am lifted up from the earth and will draw men to myself. Draw all men to myself. This invitation is extended to anybody that will listen to it. So then we need to ask the question in this, what kind of man is he drawing? What kind of people is he inviting to this invitation? If you'll notice, he goes on and he says, those who are weary and heavy laden. That's who he's inviting. Now let me ask you another question. Does that include you? Do you have something in your life that makes you weary and heavy laden? If I ask for a show of hands, there shouldn't be a single person here that doesn't have something weighing on them. And Jesus said, if you're weary and heavy laden, if you have burdens, I want you to come to me. Jesus calls everyone. He doesn't limit it to any particular person. This invitation was not exclusive. It was inclusive of any and all people that would listen. He calls everybody. He wants those who are weary and are heavy laden. Those who are struggling beneath the load that's too heavy for you to bear by yourself. Maybe it's worry and care. Maybe it's the load of a sin that's in your life. Some sorrow. And to this, the men and women that have these problems, Jesus says, come to me. I want to help you. Come to me. But then with this invitation, as with any other invitation, there's a promise. So what is the promise of this invitation? Well, it's in the text here. He says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Come to me. If you're tired, if you're weary, if you're downtrodden, come to me. I want to help you. I will give you rest. You know, in my experience, there's a lot of people that are weighed down with burden, care, with sorrow. They have medical problems going on, and I've asked them, hey, how you doing? Anything I can do? I'm fine. I'm fine. There's a human trait called pride that I think hinders everybody at one point or another in their life from accepting help. You know, Jesus may have put me in your life for that particular problem. He may have put Mike in your life for that particular problem or anyone else. That may be Jesus' way, God's way of saying, I'm here to help you. Just take the help. No, I've got it. I can do it all by myself. He wants to take your problems and make them His. He wants to take your heartache and your sorrow and do away with them forever. Yes, Christ wants to give you rest. Are you willing to accept the invitation? He offers you rest from that burden of sin, to cleanse your soul and to make it white as snow. He offers you rest from the cares and the burdens of life. And He always stands at the right hand of the throne of God to intercede for His faithful ones and to lay their petitions before God. But with any invitation, there is always a responsibility. And the responsibility is found in this invitation as well. Notice in this invitation, He says, take my yoke upon you. These blessings and these promises are not for the man who's not willing to ask and to come to Christ. It's not for the one who will not obey God. To receive this invitation, you've got to answer. It's not like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons who come to the door and you open up the blinds, you go, no, I'm not answering that one. This is Christ. I have an invitation for you. I want you to come to me. You're weary, you're sinful, you're sorry, sorrowful. Everything that's wrong in your life, I want you to come and pour it out to me. And then take my yoke upon you. We've got to be willing to give ourselves to God. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Everybody says, oh, I love Jesus. Even the people in the denominational world and outside of the denominational world, outside of religion, say, oh, I love Jesus. Well, why don't you do what he says? Why don't you obey him? Jesus says, come to me. If you love me, come to me. I want to take your burdens. But there's a responsibility. You have to answer. And again, the Hebrew writer, who is inspired, says in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation, notice, to all who obey him. There's the responsibility. It's on you to obey this invitation. And the only way that we can accept this great invitation is by a complete submission to the will of God. We must show our love through faithful obedience. If we go back to the invitation of Christ, you notice he says, and learn from me. Learn from me. We need to learn about Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I understand people are going to say, well, Christ was perfect. Imitate him. I remember growing up and my daddy taking me squirrel hunting one time. And I was so young, it seemed like there was about a foot of snow on the ground. I know there wasn't that much, but it seemed like it at the time. And he would walk through the snow, and I was trying to keep up in his footsteps. And it's hard to do. Here I am, 8, 9 years old, and here is my father, a grown man, walking through the snow, making his own footprints. And here I am, I'm almost having to jump just to keep in those same footsteps. And I can't do it. But the effort is what Jesus is talking about. You have to try. You have to try to follow Christ. You have to try to learn who he is, what he is, about his love, his humility, about his goodness, his divinity, and yes, even his authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, before his great invitation, that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him. You realize what that means? If you've ever done a study of the word authority, it means someone that has the right to demand, command, or expect you to follow what he says. And Jesus has the right to extend this invitation. If Jesus had authority given to give this invitation, then certainly he has the authority, the right to tell men, to tell us how to come. The individual that backs up and says, well, I know Jesus was such and such, but I don't think that this is necessary. Well, they've never taken it upon themselves to take the yoke of Christ, and they've never received his blessings. See, after asserting his authority, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, according to the English Standard Version, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That sounds like a harsh statement, but Jesus has the authority from God to make just that statement, to offer that invitation, that if you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. And those that have already taken the yoke of Christ, he urges them in Revelation 2 and verse 10. At the end of verse 10, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be faithful. That's part of accepting this invitation, is continuing to do what Jesus says to do. But some might be asking the question, is this invitation really worth answering? You ladies get these invitations all the time, like I said a moment ago, for baby showers, wedding showers, invitations for graduation and things like this. And the first thing that pops into your mind is a dollar sign because you know you're going to have to buy something. Right? It's going to cost you something. This invitation is no different. It's going to cost you something. So we have to ask ourselves, is the cost worth answering the invitation? when we look at his invitation again, we notice that he repeats his promise. He says, and I will give rest for your soul. You will find rest for your soul. I will give you that rest that you're looking for. There's so many people that walk around in this world lost. And I don't mean lost in a sinful way. They don't have any purpose in life. And if they would just look to Christ, then they would find purpose. And you will find rest for your souls. You look at the world around us. Is it not chaotic? Is it not filled with violence? You know, I mentioned in Bible class that my mama used to say, I wonder how much longer God's going to let this whole world go. Some of you may have thought that same thing. But what if the world ended tomorrow? What if it ended today and you had never accepted this invitation? In this invitation, you can find rest in a world filled with chaos. You can find rest within yourself. A rest that's not based upon some shaky feelings or empty imaginations, but is based upon the Word of God. And having the Word of God as your foundation in your life is your everything. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philemon, we read in Philemon, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. What's it worth to you to be able to lay your head on your pillow at night and not have to worry? Marilyn used to, she'd lay her head down and she'd toss and turn and get up and go to the living room. She'd toss and turn and get up and go to the living room. And she'd say, Jeff, you lay your head on your pillow and you're out like a light. She said, you must not have a worry in the world. Well, it's just a blessing, I guess, to not worry about it. But there's a peace that we receive from God. And we notice that Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Is the cost worth it? Is the responsibility too great to answer this? Is God asking too much of you when He offers this invitation? If you go back to the invitation, we notice that Jesus concludes the invitation by saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is not asking you to do anything that you cannot do. There's nothing oppressive about His commands. Nothing. One of my favorite passages that I keep going back to is 1 John chapter 5. And in this, it talks about the love of God. And it talks about that the love of God is keeping His commandments. And depending on which translation you read, it says His commandments are not burdensome or grievous. God is not going to tell you, expect you, command you, demand of you anything that you cannot do. Nothing. There's nothing in God's Word that you cannot obey. Most of the time, it's right here. I've got to make up my mind that I'm going to do what God tells me to do. It's a great invitation. When Paul wrote the Roman letter in chapter 12, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And notice the last statement. Which is your reasonable service. There's not a sacrifice that God is going to ask of you that you can't do. I mean, it's not like you're Abraham and He's asking you to sacrifice your only son. Is He? He's just asking you to be obedient. It's a reasonable service that God is asking for you to do. But above all, His yoke is easy because every command obeyed is going to bring new happiness. As we walk in His footsteps and dedicate our lives to the happiness of others, we're going to find that each and every day is going to grow brighter and happier. Now, what about you? As you go about your daily life, I want you to think about this great invitation. There's nothing difficult about it. All you've got to do is listen to it, take it to heart, and obey it. Remember that it contains an invitation with great blessings and great responsibilities. And remember that the blessings that are offered cannot be enjoyed unless the responsibilities are first fulfilled. If you're here this morning and you've never answered the invitation of our Lord, this is an opportunity for you to do just that. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, He's offering this invitation to you. It's not Jeff's invitation. Don't get me wrong. This is the invitation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's asking you if you're ready to accept the responsibilities of being a child of God, to lay your cares and your burdens before Him to respond. But it may be that you already have done that you are a Christian, and you're struggling with health issues, whatever the case may be. This is an opportunity for you to come back to Christ as well, because we all know that when we have those struggles, that sometimes we drift away from God. This is an opportunity. You know, I was thinking this morning before I came that an invitation is something that is extended at the end of every sermon. And a lot of people think that the only time they can obey the gospel is at the end of the sermon. And that's not true. The gospel that Christ gave, there is no time frame. He didn't put a paraphrase at the end of it and say, oh, by the way, you have to do it at the end of every sermon, at the end of every Bible class. You can obey the gospel. You can answer this invitation at any time of day or night. I've helped people obey and answer this invitation at any hour of the day. I would do that for you. I'm sure Mike or Frank would do that for you. But it's up to you. It's your responsibility. If you're here this morning, you're ready to accept that responsibility and put on Christ in baptism, or if you need the prayers of the saints, I encourage you to make your way to the front while we stand and while we sing.